This week's parsha is Tazria. So it deals with the concept in general of what they called saras. So the interesting thing is a perspective that we know that somebody who had saras is tame. They're considered to be an avhatame, which is in the order of things, the second level of being tame. The worst is a human corpse. And the question is, what is the definition of tame? Rabbi Lehrfeld told us that there are women who say, if I'm a nida, what does that mean? He says, okay, let me explain to you. And he said, Rav Moshe Feinstein was nifter, I think, Tinus Esther 1986. 5 minutes before he was nifter, or up to the moment he was nifter, he was kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. He had all the Torah in him. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his neshama, and he was tameh. What does that mean? And he said, tameh means an absence of godliness. And he said, when we look at the concept of tameh, it's not dirty. It's a spiritual type of failing. When a woman, for example, menstruates, the rabbi said, she could have had a child that month, and she didn't. So that ability left her, and so she somehow on a different spiritual level. And so he said, nobody should really try to equate the notion of being tamei with being dirty. It's nothing like that. It's not hygienic or anything like that. It's just the fact that the Torah says you have a different status. You were in a higher status beforehand. And now, for whatever reason, your level in spirituality has fallen. The parsha starts, Isha Kisazria. If a woman conceives seed, and this pasuk brings to our notice, the writer of the Medrash says, the great rachamim, the great kindness HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, bestows upon the unborn. He says, if we stop to ponder, the growth of a fetus in the mother's womb should inspire and does inspire certain people with great shvach of Hashem for having miraculously cared for this fetus. He says the Medrash has poetic terms to describe what happened. And he quotes the Medrash. There's a malach, an angel, who has the responsibility for conception, and it's called Layla. Layla, like night. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines that a child is to be born, he tells to the this malach, bring me this specific neshama from Gan Eden. The neshama is is in a state of turmoil. It was in the holiest of spots, and now is going to be linked to a human being. And it says, the neshama says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at this second, I am pure, and I am Kadosh, holy, and I am linked to your glory, Hashem. Why are you taking me and seemingly degrading me by having me fuse, connect with a human body? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you don't have the proper perspective. The world where you will be now going into surpasses in beauty the one in which I put you originally. And he quotes an understanding. Olam Haba is a place where the neshama enjoys undisturbed tranquility and bliss. Nevertheless, our world, in spite of all its tribulations, has a greater potential. Because only a person on this world can learn Torah and can do mitzvahs, thereby accumulating schus and merits. Somehow a neshama, well, I don't know what created means in Shemayim, but a neshama at origination has none of this. And for whatever reason, the Kadosh Baruch Hu in his wisdom determined that a neshama has to be elevated with Torah and mitzvot. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu compels the neshama to merge with the goof, the body. And before the fetus begins to be formed, this malach laila says to Hashem, what will be the fate of this child? And he says at that stage, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows what is going to be the health of the individual to be born, what limitations they may have, will they unfortunately have some sickness or handicap, the appearance, the degree of intelligence, the mental and physical potential. Everything has somehow been determined, even the degree of parnasa. And what material aspects an individual is going to possess. And they say 30 days before the blood, the fetus is formed, and I don't know when those 30 days are, Hashem says, Bas Ploini Leploini, this is the designed mate. This is the beshert, right? Husband or wife for this neshama. And he quotes Yirmiyahu, who said, do not let the wise person pride himself for his wisdom, his potential in that way. The mighty man for the amount of might he has, nor the rich man for his riches. But let him praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives chesed, justice, and righteousness on earth. And these are the things that are important. And he himself says, I'll even going to go a bit further. No person should feel pride in intelligence, strength, or wealth. These are things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. There's only one field where you have the ability to, so to speak, maximize the ability, the merits, Torah and mitzvot. What you do and how you do it will determine how great you are. And we know that efforts expended in certain areas will also yield results. We know that if I go to a gym for the next 365 days in a row and I bulk up on whatever their stuff is and I lift weights, I'm gonna get more muscles. But that too was determined. Because, yes, you put in the effort. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never determined the amount of hasmada, the amount of endeavor any neshama, or any human being rather, will expend in Torah and mitzvos. That's the one thing that is left open for human beings. We know the story that a child is taught the entire Torah while in the womb. And it says the Malach shows the neshama a vision of Gan Eden and Gehenna. And the Malach says, please be a tzaddik. Do not follow your Yetzer Hara that you're going to be given and become a Rasha. And then we know the famous story that the Malach taps the child on the lip, and we say it's the indentation on the top lip, and we forget the Torah we were taught. But we're told by the Mefarshim that if we work hard, we will bring back this Torah. Deep in our subconscious, that Torah has been planted. And it says that we see people who can go to the nth degree. Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Stipler, Rav Avadya Yosef, Rav Soloveitchik, the Rebbe. They could learn Kol HaTorah Kula. They could tell you where every thing is, and they could even tell you, oh yeah, this Gemara leads to a this Sif in Shulchan Aruch, and on the later Mefarshim where it is. But that's the mind Rav Moshe was given. Somebody else, for whatever reason, has the capacity to take out an Ort scroll, work hard, and learn two or three blot a month, but puts perfect effort in. That person has maximized their potential. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu values effort, not results. We know that if somebody is precluded from doing a mitzvah they wanted to do by unforeseen circumstances, the very fact that the individual wanted to do the mitzvah and was precluded from doing so, they get the schar. We're told that we should compare the birth of a child and development of a child to the miracles of the splitting of Yam Suf that we're going to celebrate, and which occurred on the seventh day of Pesach. We say that a Shifcha al Hayam, a maidservant, had a greater vision of Nevi'is than the Nevi'im. And he says that the Emes, the ability of a fetus to live in a mother's womb, is just as great a nace as Kriyas Yam Suf. It says that if you look at the potential of the possibilities that could exist, the child should probably, based on probabilities, not survive. I have no idea if that's medically held or not, but obviously Chazal believed it. And it says, I'll give you examples. Someone who is submerged in a bathtub full of boiling water suffers agony and emerges injured. The fetus stays for 9 months in an exceedingly hot climate in the mother's uterus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not allow it to be harmed. A woman who carries a child is an upright container who has an opening at the lower part of her body from which the baby will emerge. He says, why doesn't gravity somehow push the baby out or whatever, or damage? And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't let it happen. He says, we know that if we begin to eat, he says, an 11-course meal, the 9th course somehow pushes the 6th and the 7th courses further down in the stomach, further and further. And he says, somehow, no matter what the mother seems to eat or drink, as long as it's not damaging substances, it shouldn't affect the fetus. How is it that a Kadosh Baruch Hu transfers whatever the mother develops in terms of nutrients to the baby, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu uses the mechanism of the placenta to nourish the embryo? And he says, let's think of another thing. The baby is drawing nourishment into its body. We know that once a body reaches the world, right, it begins to pass the water it has drunk. We pass whatever we eat. How is it that for 9 months, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a stop on this child and it secretes nothing which would be waste product and damaging to the mother? He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a natural childbirth, doesn't propel a baby out of the womb. It's not shot out of a cannon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dilates the woman's cervix, and slowly and surely allows a semi-gentle sort of discharge of the body. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed a malach in charge of pregnancies. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, when the time of childbirth occurs, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm in charge. I am going to supervise. It says from the Medrash, and this is from the Gemara in Tainus, actually, there were three keys, three items vital to mankind, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give a malach the ultimate control over, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I am taking charge. Childbirth, as we said. The second one is rain, which we're told includes parnasa, because rain is critical to the growth of everything, crops, and all of mankind's food and drink depends on it. And the third key that only a Kadosh Baruch Hu holds is Tchiyas Amesim. And Chazal tell us that it is only through the Schusim, the merits, and the tefillas of Am Yisrael, of all the people, that this happens, in greater order. We think about the millions of parts in the human body. how no computer could ever replicate one part of a human brain. And he says, when we say, Ein Tzur Kelokeinu, there is no rock like Hashem, this is what Chana said when Shmuel was born. He says it means, Ein Tzior Kelokeinu. There is no sculptor like a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Bring anything else in the world and have it create life. And it's points out, a child is born, they come out usually somewhat dirty, they may have blood on them, right? And yet right away, we just take whatever the nurses take, clean it up, and it's the most precious thing in the world. What is the charm of babies and young children? And we're told the Shekhinah, that's a Kaddish Baruch who's putting the neshama in, because the child is still pure. While the child is at that stage, it's incapable of doing anything wrong. We're told that when Chava was created, childbirth took place immediately after conception and was an immediate development. It says, we're told from Yeshayahu, before she will travail, she will bring forth. Before her pain will come, she will give birth to a male child. He says, when the time for the Gula comes, once again we will see this phenomena. The rabbi's here. I wanted to ask you a question, Rabbi. When the Esh that came down on the Mizbeach was Aaron, was that Esh continually burning until the time Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash?
It says that it was miraculous, even though there was a mitzvah to bring new fire.
Right. Did that fire last until the Churban Bayis Rishayim? Do we know?
I think it says that.
I thought I saw that, right. So what I was wondering, is there, and I try to find it, is there anywhere that talks about what the transition was from the last time they used the Mishkan till the time they first used the Beis HaMikdash? I looked at Malachim yesterday. I didn't see anything. Okay. That's as far as we're going to go today. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great day.